and be happy. If you're tempted and you're happy, you're satisfying sorrow time. And if the step of your life is to satisfy sorrow time, then you can want something and you can be happy. Because Prabhupada said, if you're always going to be my happy.
Bhagavati Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, text number 33. Okay.
Tata Vikreta Malakya
Rakaro Chuta Chodita
Understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north left by King Marutha. So this is a very important verse, because there's some very interesting points here that we should all take to heart. Understanding the hearty wishes of the king. So we should understand the heart of our seniors, of our authority, and we should do the needful. We should satisfy them. Therefore, understanding the hearty wishes of the king, his brothers, the Pandavas, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, collected sufficient riches from the north, blessed by King Marutha, because there was a lack of funds in the treasury. That means that there wasn't enough wealth to distribute or surplus funds for managing or maintaining the city outside of collecting taxes and fines. Now, when your only source of wealth or revenue is fines and tax collection, then the government gets very heavy. All they want to do is fine you for breeding. In America now, if you breed the wrong way, practically you get a fine. It's terrible. And, but anyway, this is the situation. So, understanding the wishes of the heart of the king. The king didn't say anything. He didn't say, I need money. But his brother should understand, okay, you can see by his demeanor that there's a lack, and we should do the needful to supply whatever is necessary. And then it says, as advised by the infallible Lord Krishna. So, two things. They could see and understand the heart of the senior brother. And we're all family here. We have senior brothers, and we have junior brothers, and we have cousins, and we have uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces. This is all Lord Krishna's family, because when you come to Krishna consciousness, you join the family. Is it not? I mean, who's our real family? Our biological father or our spiritual father? Who do we have a deeper connection with? Who do we run to for shelter? Who do we ask for guidance? Like this. So, as it is advised by the infallible Lord Krishna, the Lord Krishna made a suggestion. And immediately they took that as their life and soul. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. Prabhupada gave the example. There's many different kinds of disciples. But he delineated four kinds. Because we're not going to talk about the negative one, that's the last class. But the fourth class disciple is when you go and ask him to do some service, he's always a little bit busy and he doesn't have the time, but after you control him for a while, he says, okay, and then he does the service. That's fourth class. Third class is you ask him to do service, and immediately, yes, he runs up and does that service. That's third class. Second class, you don't have to go and ask him. He comes to you. He inquires, is there any service to be done? What needs to be done, please? I'm at your service. I'm your servant. Please engage me. That's second class. Here in this verse, we're talking about first class. Prabhupada says, first class disciple, he doesn't need to be asked, nor does he inquire. But he understands the mood of the guru. He understands the heart of the guru. And he does the need for it. Prabhupada was such a first class disciple. I'll give you an example. You want praman? Here it comes. Fruit. When Srila Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at first he didn't want to go. His friend, Narendranath Malik, said, oh, I've met a wonderful sannyasi. And because Prabhupada was more or less the leader of his group of friends, they always wanted to get his opinion. So they said, you please come, and I want to hear your opinion. Prabhupada said, oh, sannyasi, just seen so many sannyasis. All they're interested in is name, fame, and feeding the belly. Let you know. When I was young, so many sannyasis came to my father's home, and after they took some money and ate, they left. Never heard from them ever again. No, I'm not interested. No, 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 this one's different! Papa didn't want to go. He did not have a good opinion of sannyasis. But because Narendra was his good friend and he was his insistent, Prabhupada said, okay. So the next evening, Narendra came and they went to number one, Halsadanga Road in Calcutta. It was a hot summer evening, therefore there was a darshan on the roof, or as you call it here, on the terrace. So they were on the terrace, Bhaktisiddhanta was sitting there, eating, and they had a crowd of people. And then up the stairs came Narendranath and Adai Charandev, Bhaktivinoda Prabhupada. They came in quietly, saw where there was a seat, and sat down quietly. Bhaktivinoda noticed them, and as soon as he saw them, he knew everything about them instantly. They were wearing khadi cloth, so he knew immediately Gandhi. They considered the Gandhi movement. There is the home rule, the independence of India. The way they kept quietly and sat down very nicely, he knew they're from aristocratic family. And then he knew aristocratic family means English education, English British school, so they spoke English. So he had them such meetings and such saying words. So the first thing he said, you are two nice, intelligent young men. Why don't you spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English-speaking countries? Just like that. Boom. So, Narendranath and Prabhupada looked at each other, and then Prabhupada spoke up. He said, who will hear your Chaitanya's message? We are dependent nations. We are not free. We are occupied by the British. Who will hear our message? Let us first get independence, and then we can push on our own tradition and our own culture. That was Prabhupada's argument. Bhaktisiddhanta said, no! The message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is too important. It cannot wait for any social change, any economic change, any political change. It cannot wait for anything. There is no greater benefit to humanity than that message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he has given to the world. And in this way, he carried on and on. And Prabhupada told us later, much later, many years later, he said, I was very happy to see the students at my group of friends. There was another time that Prabhupada came to a lecture and it was a little bit late. Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking and Prabhupada came in, sat at the back, and then he asked one of his godbrothers, you know, what's the topic, what are you discussing? So Bhaktisiddhanta saw him speaking to his godbrother. So he said, Abhaicharananda, you're not interested in hearing your guru speak? He chastised me. Prabhupada still said, it was ecstasy to be chastised by my Guru Maharaj. I always remember that. Even the great Acharya, which is a perfect example from Chaitanya Charitamrita, they consider it nectar, bliss, to be chastised by the spiritual master. But my point is this. Many, many years later, in 1975, in Los Angeles, in February, Prabhupada came. And it was a very big event. We had just renovated the new temple. It was previously the sanctuary. Now we had turned it into a beautiful temple. And Prabhupada was coming, and I heard the players had prepared a wonderful drama called The Tandavas Retire Timely from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then one evening, after Prabhupada came, one evening, after the Sandhya Arati Kirtan, Prabhupada sat down. Then there was a little stage with only about this high, 1 foot high. Now, in the LA temple, the deities were here, and Prabhupada Vyasasana was on this side, and the stage was over there. So everyone was sitting watching the stage, so Prabhupada was behind everybody. And then drama began. It went on for an hour, and it was really wonderful. I remember one of the highlights was when the Pandavas and Krishna, they come to Duryodhana, and they finally say, look, we can avert this whole war. Just give us 5 villages to administer. We're Kshatriya. We have to administer. Just give us 5 small villages and we don't have to have any war. You can spare everything. And Duryodhana, he was very good. He said, I will not give you as much land as you can put under the head of a pin. And then when he did that, everybody turned to look at himself. Many times during the play, people would turn, the devotees would turn around and see what's not much reaction. Actually, Duryodhana is the name of Madhavadas from New Orleans. He told me later on, he said, it was the first time I was ever on stage by somebody who had the idea. So then after it was over, the Prabhupada was applauding, everybody was applauding, and everyone turned around to Prabhupada. And the first thing he said was, because this is Los Angeles, right? So the first thing he said, he was going to give an Oscar. And he gave an Oscar to you this year, who was luck among them. He actually gave an Oscar to you this year. And then he became a little grave. And he said, my Guru Maharaj ordered me to spread this Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the English-speaking world. But I am an old man. What can an old man do? But my Guru Maharaj is so kind upon me that he has sent all of you to help me. And now I'm very happy to say that the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are in the right hand of the left. We all look at each other. He's talking about it. It's certainly not me. But this is very, very instructive. First of all, Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj ordered me. Prabhupada took it as his life and soul, but actually, the Guru Maharaj just made a suggestion. Why can't you do this? To benefit you. The Prabhupada took it as his life and soul. He could understand the mind of his Guru. And he made it his life and soul. So that was the first point. The second point, he said, I'm an old man. What can an old man do? So he took no credit for himself. Amanina. He didn't want any honor, no respect, nothing for himself. But my Guru Maharaj was so kind upon me, he sent all of you to help me. So he gave us the credit for what was going on in this country, which was in 1975, and it spread around the world. We had almost 100 centers by that time. And by that time, we had centers in Hyderabad, Mayapur, Vrindavan, Bombay, and others tending. So things were happening. And then he said, and now I'm happy to say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are in the right hands. And he gave us that responsibility, the next generation, to carry it on. Of course, at the time, who could understand what he was saying? But now, after all these years, we realize that yes, this is our duty, this is our responsibility as disciples of the Guru coming in Parampara system. It is our duty and responsibility to become the next link in the Parampara. And follow in the footsteps of the predecessor Acharya. And understand the heart and mind of our Guru Maharaj and do the needful. But now, I am just an old man. My time is over. Here's the truth. You want truth? I'm not dying at this So, you're the next generation. Now the responsibility is given to you. The duty to carry on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now in your hands. So, in this verse, understanding the heart of Yudhisthira, so understanding the heart of Srila Prabhupada, his brother is the Pandava, so the disciple of Prabhupada, we should do the needful and ensure that Prabhupada's mission will be a success, just like they went to collect sufficient riches from the north, to ensure that the administration under Yudhisthira would be successful. So now, it is in your hands. And here is an interesting purport, Prabhupada Maharaj Marutta. Because they are going to collect sufficient riches from the north left by King Marutta. However, King Marutta is not the focus of our attention. The focus of our attention is that Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to collect wealth because he wanted to do an ashramed in Yudhya. Because he wanted to become purified from any sins involved. Because he's a kshatriya, he's killing people. So just to make sure that everything's clean, he wants to do his Yudhya. So, Prabhupada says here in the purport, the success of a particular type of sacrifice completely depends on the Purohit who is in charge. In this age, all kinds of sacrifices are forbidden because there is no learned Purohit amongst the so-called Brahmanas who go by the false-related notion of becoming sons of Brahmanas without any Brahminical qualification. Therefore, so many things that are part of Vedic culture in the past are actually by Shastra forbidden in Kali Yuga. And then Here is the siddhanta of the whole verse and the whole purport. Prabhupada says, therefore, in this age of Kali, only one kind of sacrifice is recommended, Sankirtan-yajna, as inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the bona fide, authorized yajna that brings results, brings success. The reason the other yajnas are forbidden is because they can't be done properly. So by doing them improperly, you don't get a result. If you do something and don't get a result, what do you say, what do you call that? Wasting your time, right? Sanskrit, what do you say? Shama eva hi kevala. Now, if you want to do something and efficacious to get the best result, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Harinama, 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 Yoriva Devana, Kaloha, Deva, Deva, not Deva, Vikina, Yota. So the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, suggested to Prabhupada that he spread throughout the English speaking world, which Prabhupada took as his life and soul. We should also take it by life and soul. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, you may remember this. When we were in India one time, Prabhupada said, and I don't know if you were there, but Prabhupada said to us, it was my Guru Maharaj's desire to spread this Krishna consciousness in the Western countries, but it's my desire to spread it in India. Do you remember that? Yeah. It's my desire to spread it in India. And that's what kept us in India, because this was Prabhupada's desire. And another thing he told us, he said, 1 year in India is worth 3 years of advancement in the West. So he said, three times as much advancement here in India. And now I realize, it takes me a long time to realize this, it's actually 35 years, I realize why Prabhupada was stressing this India preaching so much. Because this is the tradition and culture of India, and if you don't have a strong foundation in your home country, it's not going to bode well for spreading in other countries, in foreign countries. So it's very important that we have a strong, strong base here in India. So, Prabhupada said, it's my desire spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in India, which is what you are all doing. You're satisfying Prabhupada. By satisfying Prabhupada, your life is a complete success. No matter what else you do, Krishna doesn't look at the bad, he just looks at the good. So your glass is always half full. And this is the quality of Krishna. He only sees the good. The perfect example is Putana. There was no good in Putana coming to Krishna. She was a demon who was requested by Kamsa, somehow or other, by hook or by crook, kill this chick Krishna. So she took the form of a beautiful young woman. And she went to Mother Yashoda, glorifying Mother Yashoda. You are so fortunate, you are the most fortunate of all ladies because you have the most beautiful son. This son is the most beautiful, most wonderful son. My life will be perfect if I could only for 1 second hold him in my arms. And if I could even offer him my breast milk, then my life will be successful. At the millions of births, I could never hope to get such a benediction. So she was speaking such sweet words that Mother Yashoda, I was thinking, oh, such a nice lady. Maybe I should allow her to feed my Krishna. So then she smeared poison on her breast with Putana. And if Mother Yashoda came to give Krishna, she took the Krishna. In her heart she was thinking, now I will kill him. And Prabhupada, when he told this story, he said, but Krishna always takes the bright side. Krishna was thinking, she's approaching me just like Mahabharata. The way Prabhupada said, like Mahabharata. So, he sucked out her life's hairs and killed her demoniac form and her demoniac consciousness
And she went back to Vaikuntha. She got liberation through Vaikuntha. There was nothing good.
But somehow or another, Krishna found something good. This is his nature. And it's a real blessing for us that that's Krishna's nature. That's what we see right here, isn't it? Aren't we glad that that's his nature? Because if he saw the other, he'd be finished. But he's not interested in the other. He's only interested in what good that we do. So, I would like to suggest that our position is much better than Putana. And if Krishna saw something good in her, then our future is very bright. In fact, our future is so bright, you're all going to have to wear sunglasses. So remain confident. Remain positive. Remain enthusiastic. You're on the royal road back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada's already there, rooting for you, putting in the good word for Krishna. I'm going to tell him the story, your story, in Japan. When Prabhupada came to Japan, my senior governor, Septananda, was there. And it was a lonely outpost. And when Prabhupada came, it was the perfection of his life. And Satyananda Prabhu wanted to show Prabhupada how sincere he was. He would go out and he would distribute as many BTGs as he could. And even he'd come back and he'd tell Srila Prabhupada, he'd distribute so many magazines. And each day he would do more and more. And every day he was increasing and Prabhupada was very pleased. But unfortunately, that day always comes when the Guru has to leave. And Satyananda Prabhu was very sad that Prabhupada was leaving, because he was in bliss when Prabhupada was there. And in his mind, he wanted to go with Prabhupada. He didn't want Prabhupada to leave. So Prabhupada said to him, "You can correct me if I don't have it right. Yes, you can come with me if you want. But you should know that not for one moment do I ever stop thinking of each and every one of you. Not for one moment do I stop thinking of each and every one of you." Therefore, we can say that Srila Prabhupada is Suri Dham Sarvabhutana. That's why he left Vrindavan. He didn't know where he was going, who he would meet. He didn't know anything, but he was going there to give his blessing, his ashirvad, to all the conditioned souls. He believed in his heart that this is the desire of his Guru Maharaj. He wanted to please his Guru Maharaj. And he understood one thing that none of his other godfathers understood. And that was this. He explained it one time. He said, "Lord Chaitanya is God. God said, 'Pitivite jato achi nagarati gram sarvata prachara hoye mornam.' And my name will be preached all over the world." That means, Prabhupada concluded in his mind, that there must be candidates waiting to receive it, if only we can go there. So he was convinced. Therefore, he struggled so hard. But the other sannyasis, they said, "It will never happen. They will never accept. Impossible."